iloverealestate.tv. Guess what we're going to be talking about today? We're going to go back right to the very beginning and talk about what deal do I want, what deal do I need, how do I go about finding the ideal deal. And you know what? Most people get it totally wrong. Today, to help me out with the general discussion, I have one of my star students here. She's been with me for, six odd years, long time. And we've been sitting around having a cup of tea, and I thought, you know what, we should put this on a podcast. We've been talking about the mistakes that people make when they actually start out investing. And we get all of these questions about, you know, I can't find a deal, and I've been looking for this, and can't do this, and whatever. And we ask them what their process is, and really, they've got no process at all. So I thought, best thing to do, let's do a bit of a podcast, get out there, talk to the whole community, and we'll show you how it should be done. Now, to help me out, I have Tamara Reed with me. Hello, Tamara. How are you?
Good, Dibna. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Very good. Now, when we were having a little talk before, we were talking about how people come to us and they talk about the fact that, you know, they can't find a deal. And when we ask them, well, what are you doing? What do they say?
Typically, their response is, well, I'm spending all of this time on realestate.com and I'm looking at all these websites, and right there, we pretty much know that the process that they're taking is not going to lead them to their outcome.
No. Because you know what happens is when you're sitting there on realestate.com or domain.com or any of the other .coms you can think about, .com.au's, what you're actually doing is you're entertaining yourself. You may as well go and watch television as far as I'm concerned, because if you start with the deal, you're starting at the wrong end of the dog. You have to start where things are important for you. So you have to step back. The deal is actually probably three quarters of the way through the process. It's certainly not the first thing you go hunting for. Because, you know, the question is even wrong. It's not, I can't find a deal, I want to find a deal. You need to step back before that and you start asking yourself some good questions. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through and look at some of those good questions that you need to ask yourself. Now, one of the first ones is, what do you want? Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the first thing that you need to spend some quality time doing is working out, you know, what is your goal? You know, what is your short-term goal and what's your long-term goal in property? Because if you don't know where you're heading, then, you know, you don't know what you're looking for.
That's right. So you've got to do this with a piece of paper too. I mean, you can do it on a computer or an iPad or whatever else, but take some notes. Because what will happen is once you really start to put your mind to this and start to think about things, you'll end up going around in a few circles to start with. So taking notes on it really keeps you prompted as to, well, what do I really want? And I was chatting to somebody the other day about, what do you want? And he was talking about all these things that he wanted, like, you know, he wanted to pick up his kids from school and he wanted to take walks on the beach and he wanted, you know, time to go and watch the soccer game on Saturday. And when we really sat down and went through his time and his schedule and he worked for himself and all this kind of stuff, all of those things were possible right here, right now. He didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to have any kind of thing that he had to have before he could make that happen. If that's what he really wanted, he could have it now. And he just had to reorganize a couple of things. So I think a lot of us really spend a lot of time saying, I'll do this when, or I'd love to be able to do that when I'm in this position. So when you can really nail down what it is you want and articulate what that is and write it down so you can see in black and white that's what you're actually shooting for, then you've got the ability to be able to say, well, you know what, I could do that now if I really wanted it. If that's what I really want, I could do this now, or this is what I've got to do to get that. Because if you don't know what that is, then you don't know what to do, what time schedule, what effort, what strategy, what area, what deal, etc. You've got no idea.
And I think the other part of that, Dimna, is that you're realistic with what your goal is. So, you know, you might be sitting here thinking, oh, well, I've got to have, you know, I want to have $200,000 passive income in the next 12 months. And that's a fantastic, you know, fantastic goal to work towards.
But that might be great if you're already starting on 150.
Exactly. And if you've got a full-time job that you're holding down and you've got family and all of those sort of commitments, then, you know, that all needs to be taken into account to really hone in on what a realistic strategy is that you need to be working towards.
That's exactly right. So the first thing is write down what do you want, what are you shooting for, and write the little things down. I find in this stage what you should be doing is looking at the simple things like, you know, I want to pick up the kids from school, or I want to learn to play the guitar, as much as I want to drive this kind of car, I want to go on these kind of holidays, you know, I want to you know, have this kind of lifestyle, and this is how much money I need to have that kind of lifestyle. Once you write down exactly what you want from a lifestyle perspective and all of those things, then you can start to really add up, how much money do I need to make that happen? And you know, for a lot of people, that one step, if they miss it, then everything else doesn't follow. They don't have the strategy to go on to. They don't know how much money they can commit. They don't know how long it's going to take. So it becomes this grandiose idea out there in the future of this fuzzy muddle, which really has no clarity around it at all. When you can add clarity, then you can add action to make it happen. But without the clarity, you've got no hope.
And I think a really good way for those people that are sitting there thinking, I don't really know what it is that I want, a process that I've found to be very helpful is just to imagine, you know, what sort of day would be your perfect day in, you know, the next 3 years, for example. And what does that day look like? What are you doing? What are the people around you? You know, where are you living? And to, I suppose, you know, brainstorm and imagine what that wants to look like for you, and then work backwards from there as to, okay, how do I achieve that? What are the steps that need to be taken? And also, what's the realistic time frame for achieving that?
You know, a lot of people get very carried away with they want to quit their job. They hate their job. They want to quit their job. They want to retire. Oh, my God. That is like a dirty word to me, because, you know, when you're actually in a position where perhaps you could retire, it's like, well, is that really what I want? I mean, what are you going to do? The idea here is, you know, if you really do think that you want to retire, go and take 2 or 3 months off, and then assess the situation at the end, because guaranteed you're going to be driving yourself stir crazy. I was talking to a young mum the other day, and she's been with me for probably a couple of years now, and she said to, you know, in her early strategy sessions and things like that, she said, I want time. I want time with my kids while they're little. She's got a little 3-year-old. You know, I want time with her to spend playing with my child, et cetera, et cetera. Well, she's been able to organise things so that she does actually have that time now, and she's in a situation where she, you know, she's reasonably comfortable, and she's got all the time in the world to spend with her 3-year-old. And she said to me the other day, she said, I'm going stir crazy. She said, I just can't handle it. I've got to be able to do something. She said, I find I'm just wasting time. And, you know, we were talking about if you want something done, you've got to ask a busy person. And the conversation went on to talk about the fact that she now needs to implement some structure around her time to be productive in what she now wants to do, which is, you know, create a bigger portfolio and all of those sorts of things.
And the flip side to that is, you know, full-time investing is, you know, a fantastic goal, but it certainly, depending on the way you put it together, can impact on your capacity to get bank finance in the future, and it adds an extra level of complexity depending on how you've put it together. So it's not necessarily the first thing that we would be saying for you to aspire to.
And also, you've got to think about your own characteristics as a social creature. Again, I'll go to another story. I seem to be talking a lot about this lately, but I was talking to a girlfriend of mine whose husband wants to be a full-time property investor, but he's now realised that he actually needs the interaction of a workplace. He needs that communication. He needs that social atmosphere that a workplace provides, where when you're a full-time property investor, you have to be very diligent and very conscious of how things play out to actually create that for yourself, because being a full-time property investor can actually be quite a lonely process.
And absolutely, and the majority of communication that you have, phone calls and emails, is usually somebody in your team that has a problem. So even though we're using engineers and builders and so forth, you know, a lot of the communication that you're going to get is going to be an issue that's arisen that you need to address. And at the end of the day, the buck stops with you. It's your project, so you need to, you know, always be in a position to problem solve. And, you know, there's not that general sort of social get together. There's not that sort of confirmation upline that you're doing a fantastic job. You know, you only find that out once you complete the project, and hopefully it's ended up with
and the money's in the bank.
Exactly. Yes, but that could be a 12, 18 month process.
Okay, so let's say we know what we're after. You know, we know what we're chasing, we know the lifestyle that we want, and we know how much money we're going to need to create that lifestyle. Obviously, depending on how big that is and how much of a change it is between where you're at now and where you want to be, will depend on how long it's going to take you to get there. I mean, the bigger the jump, the longer it's going to take, right?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, if it's a 3 month or a 3 year process, obviously working out what does that look like in 2 years, what do I need to achieve in the next year, and then that will give you a much better idea of what sort of deal you're working for, you know, as the next strategy.
And the next step after that is to really think about what, you know, what can you do right now? Because obviously everybody's starting from a different perspective. They're starting with a different amount of money, a different amount of equity, a different amount of income. And all of those things play a very big factor in what they can, what kind of strategies they can physically do. So, you know, this needs to be assessed. And this is where, you know, right across the country, I've got mortgage strategists that help with all of that, those sorts of things. And I like to call them strategists because there's so much more than getting you a loan. That's not what it's about at all. It's about setting yourself up so that every loan you do puts you in a better position to be able to get the next one. You know, there should never be a deal that at the end of that deal, you haven't got the capacity to move on to the next deal. Every deal should set you up for the next one. And that includes serviceability and finance and equity and all of these things. So part of this process is actually getting yourself assessed from a capacity perspective.
Exactly. And what the next person is doing in terms of a deal might be fantastic for their situation, but maybe the complete wrong strategy for you. And that might be because, you know, they're sitting there with 500,000 cash or equity in the bank. And if you're not, then clearly, you know, the strategy you're going to target is completely different. So it's absolutely got to be based on where you're at.
Okay, so we assume you've done that now. This is kind of like, you know, hypothetical reality TV here. We've done that. Well, there we go. We're fast forwarded. You've got that finished. You know exactly what your capacity is. And for some of you, you know, it might be a longer trail because you're starting with perhaps nothing, or you're starting with minus nothing. So, you know, there's debts to clear and those sorts of things first. But that's where the strategist really comes into play and helps you out with what's my next step, what do I have to do now. From there, we then need to look at your time availability, because some strategies require a lot more time than others. And if you're time poor, then the last thing you want to be doing is doing a strategy that takes an enormous amount of time. And I guess this is where education comes in, you know. As part of the overall training and mentoring and everything that I do through all of my courses, you go into not only the how to, but the practicality of what that actually means and what kind of strategies you can do as a second job alongside, you know, while you're still full-time working, or what kind of strategies, you know, you can do on weekends, and what kind of strategies work best for someone who's got, you know, more hands-on approach, that sort of thing. So time commitment is a big decider on what kind of strategy you need to do, and therefore what deal you need to get out there and find.
And also, you know, a lot of people think that, oh, the bigger the deal is going to make more money, that's what I'm chasing.
But you have to be realistic with how much time you can commit. I mean, if you have a full-time job, there is only going to be so many phone calls that you're able to make in a day during your morning tea and afternoon, you know, lunch break and lunch. So, you know, you have to be realistic about that. And if that is your time commitment, then you need to choose a strategy around that. Equally, if you've got, you know, children and commitments on weekends, that all needs to be taken into account. Because if you get into a deal that you don't have the time to commit to, then it could turn into a negative situation for you.
And I guess the next thing after that is, after you've worked out how much time and what kind of strategy suit that time requirement, is how far are you prepared to travel and how far do you need to travel? Because, you know, if you're starting with a very small amount of money to get started with and you live in downtown Sydney where prices are pretty high, then, you know, your need might be that you need to go further afield. So, you know, your deal may not be in downtown Sydney. It might be where your money can afford to buy. And then that comes into the next thing. Well, what kind of strategies can I do at a distance if I do need to go at a distance? I'm not saying you do, but maybe you do. And then what strategies suit that? Because some strategies are quite easy to do at a distance, whereas others are god near impossible.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, again, you know, I seem to come back with the being realistic. You know, if you've got young children, for example, there is really, you know, only a certain distance you can travel from the, you know, from the family. And if that means that your distance of travel is 1 hour, well, then that is going to dictate, you know, where you're starting to look for deals. And yes, it may not be the ultimate, the ultimate deal, but it's what is realistic for your situation.
That's right. Whereas some deals, you can do them in another country, let alone, you know, another state or whatever. So it depends a little bit on the strategy you're doing as well.
As long as you've got the education.
As long as you've got the education to do it, they're absolutely correct. Okay, so the next thing that you then need to consider before. Now, at this stage, we're still not looking at a deal. We are not turning on the computer trying to find a deal. We are deciding on all of these factors that come into play before you even start looking, because that depends on what you go looking for. Otherwise, as we said before, you're just aimlessly entertaining yourself on the internet.
And I think, I know that I've heard you make this analogy. When you're, you know, for example, if you're buying a car, you know, once you know exactly what sort of make and model you're looking for, what colour you're looking for, then, you know, Murphy's Law, everywhere you go, you see that car, whereas previously you've never even taken notice of it. And it's the same with finding deals. If you're sitting on realestate.com just looking at every single property in an area of interest, you know, you're just going to waste time, spin your wheels. Whereas if you're looking for something very specific, which is what this process is leading you through to, then you know, you're much more focused on finding a particular outcome, and equally you're able to articulate that to the rest of, you know, the people around you. So whether that's the real estate agents or, you know, people in the area, you're able to explain exactly what it is, where it is, and you know yourself why you're looking for that particular property. Whereas if you don't have that, you're just looking for a needle in a haystack.
The next thing you really need to consider is, are you going to keep this thing at the end of it or are you going to sell it? Because if you're going to keep it, well, you're looking for a different type of property. You're going to look for something that's got positive cash flow at the end, you know, that you can manufacture income and growth on and all of these good things that we talk about. Or if you're going to sell it, well, you know, you're really looking for something that is going to be easily saleable, that there's a big market for, that is in a voluminous market, that, you know, all of the factors then that come into selling as opposed to holding the property.
Exactly, and I think that's where some people, if they're needing to look at more regional properties because that suits their strategy, you also need to be mindful that, you know, the capacity to sell into a much smaller population, you know, may be harder. And so you really need to mould your strategy around whether you're intending to hold or sell.
And this is where, you know, we talked briefly about it before, but we talked about the fact that, you know, you might decide on a strategy and then people jump to, oh my goodness, look at this, and it's a big deal, and it's, you know, I might be building 16 townhouses, or I might be subdividing 40 land lots, or I might be whatever, you know, a bigger deal, whereas
Whereas what they should be doing is doing a very small deal, you know, maybe a renovation or a splitter or something much, much smaller. And this really kind of comes back to your experience. And whilst down the track, you know, doing a large deal might be exactly what you need to be doing, I'd like you to grow into it, because if you don't grow into it, you're going to have an absolute minefield of things that you have to try to step your way through, and some of you will survive and some of you won't. So please don't jump too big too soon.
And on that, you know, on the experience front, you know, we're looking at obviously your experience to property, but, you know, that also broadens out to just your general experience in life. So, you know, some people will be in an occupation that they already
have talents in a certain area.
Yes, I was speaking to somebody yesterday and we found out that, you know, she was a scientist. So that was all I needed to hear to know, okay, she's probably detailed orientated.
Yep.
And you know, that changes the whole dynamics of the sort of deal that you're looking for. Whereas if you're in an occupation that, you know, you rarely talk to other people even, then, you know, property is a people business. You know, you can't get away doing this just sitting behind your computer. You absolutely have to talk to many people and pick up the phone and have face-to-face conversations. And so, you know, just that simple step and your sort of life experience in that regard, you know, may dictate how, you know, the type of strategy that you go with.
That's exactly right. I guess that also comes down to your risk profile as well, where you're, you know, are you sensitive to risk? Can you handle a bit of risk? Can you handle things when things go wrong? Do you automatically go into you know, problem-solving mode, or do you, you know, freak out and go into the fetal position and curl up in a corner? You know, what's your basic reaction when stuff happens? Because in property, stuff happens.
All the time. Every day. And so, again, that's where you need to, you know, you really need to have that solution, that solution focus. And even down to your age, you know, somebody who is younger obviously has more time on their side. So, you know, they can have potentially a few stumbles and still recover from that. Whereas somebody, you know, who is later in life and still putting together a property portfolio needs to be more sensitive on what they're exposing themselves to. So having that overriding acknowledgement of your risk level and not just assuming, oh, no, I'm gung-ho, you know, I want to do a huge project, but really you stress out on every, you know, every minor detail because, yeah, that's going to change the outcome.
So it'll totally change the outcome. And also, you know, areas and things. If you're low risk tolerance, you don't necessarily want to be having a property in another state or, you know, possibly even in a regional area, let alone a mining area or any of those sort of things. That really comes into understanding who you are and what you really want and therefore what kind of property you need to get to where you want to go, given who you are and what you want to make happen.
And I think with this whole process, you know, this might take you 1 week, 2 weeks, but once you've gone
through... I take you a year.
That's right. But once you've gone through the process, then you've done it. And obviously it's something that you come back and review, but once you've got a fundamental understanding of who you are, you know, where you're going, what your capabilities are, then you know, you're on a much, much more solid foundation to move forward. So, you know, this isn't something that you have to do for every deal. And that's why we're saying absolutely spend the time up front to, you know, put together a realistic plan. And then you can get onto realestate.com and actually start.
And then you can use all the other tools, the search tools and things like Investar and all those other good tools that you know, assist you with the process. But jumping there first will cost you time and it'll cost you money. If you do this work first, before you even start looking, then you know precisely what you're after, how you're going to go about it, what kind of area you're going to be in, and, you know, obviously the education and everything else teaches you the how-to, put that into practice. Because if you do it the other way around, you can spend 6 months just wandering the internet in this lost forest and get nowhere.
And I think the other thing with that is then when you do find something that you think, oh, wow, this looks like a, you know, a cracker of a deal, then for the next 2 weeks you are going, you know, hard at it doing due diligence, only to find out that, in fact, yeah, that strategy doesn't suit that location. You may have spent money on the deal. You've certainly spent a significant amount of time, whereas if you had done that research up front, you would have known that, in fact, I shouldn't be looking at that for that strategy in that location. So when you're starting with the property first, you know, you're in a real sort of precious situation because the property is probably on the market. You've got potentially other people looking at it, and so there is that level of stress that comes with once you've found a property. So if you don't have everything, you know, all your ducks lined up prior to that, then, you know, again, you're just creating an unnecessary level of stress in your life, whereas...
And cost.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, now you can go and turn on your computer, girls and boys. I'll let you do that now. But you know what? Before you do, I do like everybody to do a mission statement. And what I mean by that is if you're going to sit down for half an hour or an hour to do a specific research, write down beforehand what it is you're sitting there to do. You know, I'm going to find this kind of property. I'm looking in these locations. These are the characteristics of the property that I'm after. And that's what I'm going to make happen. Because if you do that, you immediately clarify in your mind exactly what you're looking for. You focus all of your brain waves and neuropathways and your reticular activating system and a whole lot of other stuff I could go into towards that particular focus, that particular outcome, and therefore that's what you're going to find. That's what you're going to do. Whereas if you don't do this one simple step, what happens is, again, you can get caught up in the excitement of the process and end up wandering all over the place and getting sidetracked and effectively waste that hour. Every hour is valuable. You don't get it back. You don't get a second chance at it. So make it count.
Exactly. And I mean, the internet nowadays, you know, there's more ads and more, you know, capacity to become distracted while you're doing your search, that if you don't set yourself a framework, then, yeah, you can end up 2 hours down the track. And yes, you've looked at Facebook and you've updated on, you know.
Found that email that popped up in the corner.
Exactly. Or somebody's on Skype, so we'll just quickly have a chat to them and your critical time has now just disappeared.
Or even the ads that come up, you know, they can sidetrack you if you don't know where what your main purpose for being there is. And even, you know, chasing this property and running off that one when it's not on what your list is of what you're actually after. So that's it, guys. I'll now let you turn on that computer. Obviously, there's a huge amount of background that we've kind of skimmed over there. There's a huge amount of learning about the strategies and implementation, what kind of strategies give you what kind of results and what kind of strategies you should be doing in what sort of area. But that's where we cover all of that stuff at boot camps, at our, you know, ongoing webinars and all that kind of thing. But I hope at least this gives you some grounding, some assistance, some support to get on the right track.
Absolutely.
And not get sidetracked.
And setting yourself a foundation. That's essentially what we're doing here.
Very good. Well, thank you, Tamara, for coming on and having a chat with everybody this morning.
Pleasure. Let's
do it again sometime.
Sounds great.
Very good. Okay, guys, well, thanks heaps for being online, and I shall talk to you again very, very soon. And don't forget to refer all your mates to the I Love Real Estate community and all of my free podcasts and everything else. And put some comments up there. I'd love to hear from you. You know, there's a little comment section there. I'd love to hear what you'd like me to cover in the future, because I'm very happy to talk about anything you want me to. Okay, guys, bye for now, and I'll talk to you again real soon. Bye now.